Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm also a postdoc researcher at the USC ARS in Beltsville, Maryland with Dr. Tang. But my presentation is going to have a different focus. That in this work, we're doing an interdisciplinary collaboration to look at different accessions of romaine lettuce and how they perform during cold storage in terms of browning potential and sensory quality. As you may know, there's been an increasing popularity in packaged salads. In 2016, the sale of packaged salads was $3.7 billion, and bagged lettuce sales have been increasing every year by about 6.5%. However, iceberg lettuce sales have decreased by half in the last 25 years. And this bar graph shows the category in the United States of the most popular types of lettuce. And romaine and iceberg are clearly the preferred types of lettuce by American consumers. And in this study, we are just looking at romaine lettuce. Although romaine lettuce and packaged salad is so popular, it's also a challenge to sell to people because it's very perishable. Fresh cut, ready to eat, prepackaged salad, it browns really quickly and it has a short shelf life. So an example picture on the left is showing a nice looking lettuce, but the one on the right is already brown and it doesn't look fresh anymore. Even I've noticed that, and probably you have, when you go to your local grocery store and you look to see what type of salad they have, and already the ones on the shelf, they look brown or they don't look fresh. Sometimes I even purchase a different product that's not lettuce at all because I just can't find anything I consider satisfactory. And therein lies the problem for the lettuce industry, that we really need to find alternatives and ways to work on this. And one of the ways that we're working with is partnering with the USDA Lettuce Breeding Program in Salinas, California, to look for new cultivars that are designed for fresh cut applications that might have less browning. And we're trying to look at these. Well, this part is the quality part. Our collaborators are looking more into the genetics and the growing and horticulture properties to make sure it still is able to be cultivated. The objective for this part of the study was to characterize the quality and browning potential of 15 different romaine lettuce cultivars. For methods, we worked with our partners in Salinas, California. Our geneticist collaborators, they selected, grew, and harvested the lettuce in the USDA test fields. We then worked with our industrial partners to ship the whole heads of lettuce from California to Maryland, where our lab is, where we trim and cut the leaves using our pilot scale cutting machine and wash them in chlorinated water, dry them, and package them in polypropylene plastic bags. We stored them for different amounts of time, from 3, 7, or 14 days, and then measured the quality using several different ways. And because this work is about quality, I want to highlight how we quantified the quality. So one of the things we did was we measured the headspace gas composition using a gas analyzer to see how much carbon dioxide and CO2 were in each package. We also did a sensory evaluation with a trained panel of 7 people who rated quality attributes such as freshness and browning. And then we worked to develop a new computer vision system that has a controlled lighting and has a camera that gets high-resolution images. Then we used computer softwares to do color correction using a reference cards to help to standardize the images, and then do an image segmentation and analysis to get some useful information out of these pictures. And the pictures on the bottom show an example of 3 different types of pictures and how it looks after it's segmented. So we segmented it into 5 different categories. The regular pieces are the blue and green, and then the different levels of browning severity in the leaves. And then after this, you can do various things with this data post-processing, such as the percent of pixels that were light brown or the color or value of the pixels. For the results, our sensory panelists, they were able to find differences between the different cultivars over time, and this graph is showing some principal component analysis that we did in order to visualize all the different quality parameters that the panelists rated. And we were able to identify a few trends in this, that the better quality, less browning cultivars are towards the bottom right-hand side of the slides, like Braveheart and Clemente. And the more browning cultivars were towards the upper part of the graph, like SysKU and King Henry, Tall Cusane. And Triple Threat is on the bottom left. That is the clear outlier. That one had a lot of browning, a lot of off odor, and generally like poor quality. This is showing some example images of six different cultivars that I selected. That's Clemente and Hartzellites were low browning cultivars. The two in the middle were intermediate, and then the ones on the right have a lot more browning. And from a visual inspection, it might be hard to tell because the pictures are kind of small. There is a difference in looking at them. Especially, I think you can tell from Triple Thread, the day 14 one, that you can see that it has a brown color. Although it's interesting to note that this type of brown color, it looks more like mud, so that's telling you that it's a decayed product rather than a light pink, and a different type of brown that's telling you the browning is not from decay, it's probably from enzymatic browning. And we quantified these differences to get numbers out of these images using image analysis. So on the x-axis, I have all the different names of the cultivars we tried, and then the browning index is what's plotted. And this is a value that I came up with to try to combine the percentages of light, medium, and dark brown in a weighted type of parameter, just to have something to compare across cultivars. And in this graph, I wanted to highlight a few of the extremes. So we have the least browning on the left that I just put a reference image from the last slide, and then the intermediate browning in the middle, and then Triple Threat was the worst brown one with the decay-looking color. Because this image analysis method is newly developed for this project, we haven't gotten to test it a lot of times, and we wanted to compare it to our sensory panelist rating to see how they match up. And the sensory browning score is plotted here against the image analysis browning index. And it shows that they're highly correlated, that if the image analysis showed there was a lot of browning, the people also rated that sample as having a lot of browning. And that's good news, since it looks like we could use either method to quantify browning in the future. For the impacted gas composition, this graph is showing the percent carbon dioxides against time. And Triple Threat is, again, our like weird, you could say, or odd one out that has the highest percent carbon dioxide, and that means it has the highest respiration rates. The other five example cultivars I have plotted on this graph are all similar, and they have a lower respiration rate than Triple Threat. So this is interesting because these five cultivars at day 14, for example, they all are showing a similar impacted CO2 level. Although these ones, they have different amounts of browning. So that tells you that the browning that we saw in these cultivars is not due to the respiration rate. Aside from Triple Threat, that we know one of the reasons it browns more is because it had a higher respiration rate. In conclusion, there are clearly physiological differences between the cultivars that result in different browning rates and different respiration rates. And we found some better and worse cultivars among the ones that we tested. And Triple Threat was the most browning and the fastest respiration rates. But in future studies, we plan to try to modify the packaging by having more oxygen in the package or using a different type of oxygen transmission rate packaging in order to see how it might perform under different headspace conditions. And both image analysis and sensory evaluation were able to quantify differences between our different cultivars. And the application for this work is to try to select new cultivars that have a better quality and a decreased browning. And this type of image analysis work could be used in the future for lettuce or other cultivars to help us quantify things that are difficult to show, like browning on diverse pieces of lettuce. And, of course, we'll all benefit if we had better quality lettuce at the grocery store. I would like to thank my co-authors and collaborators from Beltsville in the UCARS, as well as Ivan from Salinas in the Lettuce Breeding Program, and other students and postdocs from the University of Maryland that work with us. And this work was funded by a NEFA SCRI Awards, and also I'm appointed through ORISE. Thank you so much for your attention. Yes. That's a great question. So the question was that we did headspace gas composition. Did we do any other types of looking for compounds to see what might cause the off odor? And no, we didn't go that far to see what type of compounds the off odor could be attributed to, although some of my collaborators did previous studies looking at red peppers or other commodities and trying to use an ENO system to see what might be giving off certain odors. Maybe that would be a good next step for a more in-depth sensory of the lettuce. Yes. Yeah, great question. So the first question is, what image analysis software did we use? And we use mostly ImagePro Premier. It's mostly a software, if you watch the training videos on YouTube, that's for medical applications and analyzing like x-rays or staining of cells. However, you could still apply it to these type of images. And you could also use MATLAB, which is more like a cheaper software, more widely available, but then you have to develop your own code. So we felt that ImagePro Premier was more user-friendly for less trained users. And the second question was about about the decay scoring, whether we had our panelists score the samples that were decayed versus just brown differently. And that's a good question that we didn't know before testing these cultivars if some would have more decay or less decay, and so we didn't have them rate the browning differently, that we just had them use one browning index score, and we realized that that was maybe one of the weaknesses of this study, that in the future we want to have the decay to be shown on there. So we had the panelists make side notes, like this one looks decayed, if it was a decayed-looking sample, but hopefully in the future we can incorporate that more. Okay. Oh, yes. I would probably have to get back to you on that. Obviously, at the day zero, it's like the atmospheric condition. And I think they decreased some, maybe like 2-6% or something. But you can definitely follow up with me.